Have you ever been walking along the street when you look down and right in front of you is a delicious green $20 bill? That kind of discovery can completely turn your day around. So if a small finding like that can have such a huge effect on you, just imagine what it must have been like when all of the great findings throughout time were unearthed. Today's props go out to remarkable discoveries. I'm going to tell you about an extremely happy accidental discovery. A discovery that spanned across all of human existence. And one that helped me cope with the meaning of life. I'm Leah Thompson, and this is PropsCast, where we give proper recognition to the ordinary, extraordinary, and everything in between. I doubt that you've ever heard of the first man I will be giving props to, but you've most certainly heard of what he discovered. In fact, a lot of you even live by it. In 2007, Michael Sparks was walking through a Nashville thrift shop when he spotted an aged and yellowed, rolled-up document. "I have got to have that," he thought. Now, those might not be my exact thoughts if I were in that situation, but hey, to each their own. And obviously it worked out great for him, otherwise I wouldn't be giving him props right now. His desire for the parchment only strengthened when he asked the cashier how much it cost, and she replied, $2.48. What a steal. Okay, so maybe this wasn't just some piece of paper like I led you to believe. In fact, it turns out it was an official copy of the Declaration of Independence. Sparks obviously assumed when he bought it that it was just a valueless modern copy, but decided to do some research online, just in case. And well, the phrase, better to be safe than sorry, should be Sparks' motto, because he learned that he had bought one of the 200 official copies of the Declaration of Independence that was commissioned by John Quincy Adams in 1820. And of those 200 documents, only 35 others have been found unharmed. So after a year of conservation, he sold the documents at auction for $477,000. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the real-life version of a buried treasure. My favorite kind of story is one with a mystery. So naturally, the first thing I started speculating about was how the Declaration got to the thrift store in the first place. And while we still don't know its entire origin story, luckily we can trace it back at least one previous owner. After seeing the story in the news, Stan Caffrey contacted the reporter, saying that he was, and I quote, "the idiot who donated that declaration you wrote about." He said he bought it at a garage sale 10 years ago, and it had been hanging on the wall of his garage workshop before his wife convinced him to let her donate it. Although Caffrey could learn a thing or two from Sparks about always doing your research, he still deserves our props for being such a stand-up guy. Instead of being bitter, he says, "I'm happy for the Sparks guy. If I still had it, it would still be hanging here in the garage, and I still wouldn't know it was worth all that. It is just life, so I'm not really upset." But you can't help but feel not very smart for doing it. Oh, come on, Stan. We still think you're the man. Now for the weirdest part. This actually is not the first, but the second time a rare copy of the Declaration was randomly discovered. What are the odds, right? And the first time, it was on an even bigger scale. 18 years earlier, in 1989, a financial analyst purchased a $4 painting from a flea market in Philadelphia because he really liked the frame it came in. Well, it turns out he didn't have as keen of an eye for picture frames as he thought, because when he took the picture out, the frame fell apart in his hands. However, he then discovered that tucked between the canvas and the frame backing was a folded-up copy of the Declaration of Independence. This was an official copy from the very first printing in 1776. 500 were printed, but only 23 others are known to exist. And of those, only 2 are not owned by the government. He ended up selling the Declaration for a whopping $2.42 million at auction in 1991. And fun fact, in 2001, it was put up for auction once again.
At 700 now goes 7.5. Was that a bid? At 700 now goes 7.5.
And sold for $8.14 million to a TV producer that took it on a 3.5-year tour across the U.S. to inspire young citizens. You would think that for how valuable, not to mention rare, these things were, people would take a little bit better care of them. I mean, for being written by the Founding Fathers, it sure was lost a lot. But hey, at least thanks to these guys, we have 2 more copies to add to the collection. And for that, they deserve our props. This next discovery didn't happen all at once like most. It was a little more gradual. Everyone loves dinosaurs. Seriously, try and find me a person who doesn't have positive feelings towards these mysterious creatures. I'm convinced that it can't be done. We all grew up with knowledge of dinosaurs. Many of us played with plastic T-Rex toys and watched Jurassic Park and The Land Before Time.
I think we're in the mysterious beyond.
But let me ask you this. Have you ever really thought about how they were first discovered? I found myself baffled that I had never stopped to wonder what must have been going through the minds of the people who first found a bone that huge. What did they think that it belonged to? Well, the answer to that actually leads us to ask another question. What does the term discovery really mean here? I'm sure the earliest humans must have bumped into a bone or two, but since it was before people began recording history, how do we know? And actually, there have been cave drawings found with enough evidence of the knowledge of dinosaurs that it has even led some people to speculate that humans and dinosaurs once roamed the earth together. They think that some species survived the mass extinction until they were all hunted by humans. However, I want to make it very clear that I am definitely not one of those people. I guess at one point we did think that the Earth was flat and the Sun was a cold planet inhabited by aliens, so I guess technically anything is possible. But let's get back to the story. It's thought that the unearthing of dinosaur fossils thousands of years ago may have led to the creation of many Greek and Roman myths about creatures like griffins, ogres, and cyclops. But the first time the findings were actually recorded was over 2,000 years ago, in Sichuan, China, by a historian named Shang Qu. But while this was the first recorded discovery of a dinosaur, it is still not considered as such by most. Why? Because it was not properly identified as a dinosaur at the time. The people of China were sure that this was a dragon. So sure that if one of these giant bones was found, and they were found more often than you might think, they would promptly grind it up to use in medicine and curing tonics. Okay, just imagine how many more dinosaur fossils, and maybe even species, we could know about if this practice hadn't existed. But hey, it did. So, props to them for their magical dragon healing powers. The next person, or the next person we know about that is, to stumble across a colossal dino femur was a guy named Robert Plot in 1676. You may notice that is quite a few years later, but cut humanity a break here. People didn't really make a habit out of digging up and identifying dead animal remnants until quite recently. I think they had some other stuff to do that was a little bit more important than archaeology, like, you know, surviving. Okay, so Robert is in England and he comes across this bone, and his first thought is that it's a Roman war elephant. But then, after thinking about it some more and getting some advice, he finally declares that it is a giant. Yes, that kind of giant. Like, fee, fi, fo, fum. Are you starting to notice a trend here? Nobody had a clue what the hell these things were. And since the human mind demands an explanation for everything, they just made a story up and went with it. Plus, it's not like we even really know for sure what they are to this day. Depending on who you ask, dinosaurs are either gigantic lizards or massive birds. I guess I should probably tell you about the first time a dinosaur was discovered and then properly described. I don't want to leave you on a cliffhanger here, although I must say it's not nearly as entertaining. 200 years later, in 1819, British fossil hunter William Buckland discovered some Megalosaurus fossils. Although it wasn't until 5 years later when he actually named it as such, in 1824. And that is when the public's adoration of dinosaurs began. Just kidding. Actually, first, like anything else, they had to do some marketing and promotion. In 1842, they were given a brand name and classified as Dinosauria, meaning fearfully great lizards. Then, in 1854, they had a sort of launch party with a life-size iguanodon made of concrete. And that was the beginning of an extremely props-worthy scientific exploration. The discovery of dinosaurs was a huge moment in understanding the history of our home planet. But while understanding the past is vital, we're always working towards the future. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember being devastated when I found out that in 5 billion years, the sun is inevitably going to expand and swallow the Earth, humanity included. At that point, I was already struggling with understanding the meaning of life, but had satisfied my mind with the idea that the goal of humanity was that of any other species, to survive on our planet and be happy along the way. So when I realized that no matter how hard we try, we still won't be able to control the unavoidable fate of our planet, I had to readjust my thinking. But not by much. If we can't survive on Earth, then the solution is simple. We will just have to survive somewhere else. Yes, the last props I'm going to be giving is to the mind-blowing discovery of Earth-like planets. Just a few decades ago, the prospect of finding an exoplanet, that is, one that orbits a star other than the sun, was very similar to the likelihood of us finding aliens today. We knew it was possible, but we had no idea how probable it was. Until 1992, when the first confirmed discovery of several terrestrial planets orbiting a star was made. Although, just because they found rocky planets, doesn't mean they were habitable. In 2009, the Kepler spacecraft was launched with the purpose of searching the Milky Way for Earth-like planets. It's looking for planets that are similar in size to Earth, particularly those within the habitable zone of their stars, where liquid water might exist. As of this recording, Kepler has already discovered over 1,000 exoplanets. With not one, not two, but 12 of them being considered habitable. And scientists estimate that there could be as many as 40 billion second Earths in our galaxy. So I think the odds seem pretty good that someday one of these planets will be our new home. But which one? Well, the answer to that is still a mystery. While technically there are 12 habitable planets out there that we know of, they each come with their own unique challenges. When I first heard about the discovery of Earth's bigger, older cousin just a few months ago, my heart skipped a beat. Could this be our twin Earth? I quickly clicked on the article and skimmed the first few paragraphs, disappointed when I learned that Kepler-452b was 1,400 light-years away. To put that into perspective, it would take the New Horizons spacecraft 26 million years to get there. But then I got mad at myself for being disappointed when we had just made such a remarkable discovery. The first potentially rocky super-Earth within the habitable zone of a star like our own sun. This means that there could definitely be life there, and maybe even a society not totally unlike our own. Which is for sure props worthy, even if it is unlikely that we will get there to find out anytime soon. According to the Earth Similarity Index, which measures how Earth-like a planet is, Kepler-452b is ranked number 6. Which means that there are still 5 other planets that are possibly even better candidates. But unfortunately, even number 1 ranking Kepler-438b would be tough to survive on. Although it is most likely rocky, about the same size as Earth, and receives the same amount of energy from its sun, it orbits around a different type of star than Earth's sun. It also probably doesn't rotate at all, which can create some pretty harsh and alien-like conditions. But just because none of these babies are ready for us just yet, doesn't mean that we won't find our second Earth one day, maybe even within our lifetimes. And as you probably know, finding an exoplanet to call home is only plan B. We are already gearing up to make camp on a planet within our own solar system. Mars.
We are approaching Mars' lower orbit. Fasten your seatbelts and prepare yourself for atmospheric re-entrance. Our final destination is Novo Chicago Megapolis, Tharsis Plato, Mars Colony.
When I visited the Kennedy Space Center a few weeks ago, there was a huge exhibition called Journey to Mars, Explorers Wanted, urging people to join the expedition. Although, you sure as hell didn't see me signing up at the end. Temperatures on Mars average negative 80 degrees Fahrenheit, and in order to survive the extreme amount of radiation and lack of air pressure, you would have to stay inside the majority of the time. But while it's too hostile of an environment for me, you can bet that there are plenty of people lining up for their chance to colonize Mars. You didn't think that we had only one backup plan, did you? Of course not, because humanity rules. Last but maybe most mind-blowing is what I like to consider humanity's plan C for survival, terraforming. While some of the most remarkable discoveries have been there all along, sometimes we need to take things into our own hands and create one ourselves. The idea of terraforming is to modify a planet's atmosphere, temperature, surface, or ecology to make it habitable for humans. Mars' atmosphere too thin? Nonsense. We can just spray some atmosphere thickening dust, and that will do the trick. As Tim Gunn would say, make it work. While the feasibility of this process is still unknown, it does open up a lot of doors in my mind for what the future could hold for the human race. If there's one thing you should get from this props, it's that space is freaking insane. But humans are even crazier. So these props not only go out to the discovery of Earth-like planets, but to the determination of humanity to find a way to survive. Whether they are as big as the world or as small as a rolled up piece of paper, discoveries change us. They can change the way we think about life and the world around us. Or like in Michael Sparks' case, they can even change the amount of money that we have to spend. In my opinion, change is good. No, change is great. Without change, life is boring. And the best way to spice up life is by discovering something new. So go out and make your own remarkable discovery, and then tell everyone about it on our app, Cyberprops, which you can download in the iTunes Store right now. I'm Leah Thompson, and this is Propscast.